in this life. We are. My wife and I talk about this quite often. In fact, every time that we sit down at a meal, every time that we sit down and look over our property, our house, things that we possess, we are sometimes ashamed and sometimes amazed at the things that we have been blessed with, knowing that others throughout the world may not be as blessed as we are. We certainly give thanks for the wonderful blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And I pray that His blessings are so abundant toward you that at times you sit down and are ashamed of the reception of those blessings. And I hope that you understand what I mean when I say ashamed by the acceptance of those things. So it's good to have you here today. As I mentioned, my name is Rick Popejoy. I'm your host today. And I pray that you are prepared and poised and ready to study, to meditate, and to reflect upon the precious book divine. We have been focusing our attention thus far upon the warnings of the Bible. And as I mentioned in the Facebook post that I sent out earlier to advertise our program today, that we're going to be focusing on Mark chapter 13, verse number 33. And it's interesting to me that generally speaking, we see warnings as negative, but they are not always negative. Sometimes they are focused on something that is positive. In other words, we say, you stay away from that. That's out the warnings, caution, things such as that. But also, it's interesting to me that we need to caution one another, and certainly Jesus does here, caution us not not only not to engage in bad behavior, but to make sure that we engage in good behavior. And so there is that warning to always good, and that we should engage in these kinds of behaviors. And so we're going to be talking about that today. Well, I see that we already have some of our fellow Bible students that are lining up join us in our Bible study today. Sister Woodall has joined us from northern Wisconsin and says, just as grateful for all the blessings, little and much. Sister Jensen has joined us, and yes, we have missed you, and we realize that people got to work, but we're always grateful, Sister Jensen. Sister Jensen lives up in the state of Washington, and always good to have you with us. Brother Furness is here and ready, he says, to join us in Bible study today. Brother Furness is from the central section of the good state of Oklahoma. And Sister Sainer is here. That's the southern portion of Oklahoma. So good to have everyone who has chimed in. If you're viewing us and you have not chimed in, you're certainly welcome to do that. We love to know where all of our fellow Bible students are living at this particular time. We know that we have, by the way, I have not seen, although I have talked to Brother Javon Jesse, and we might have to give him a holler as well. And well, let's see, Sister Higgins is with us today. That's South Texas, and it's not as south as you can get, but it's pretty far down there, I believe. So good to have you with us for our Bible study today. All right, let's see here. I do want to remind you of a couple things before we pray and before we enjoy and participate in this wonderful song, and hopefully you will sing along with me. Let's see here. Want to encourage you to drop by the Nesbitt Church of Christ anytime that you're in this area, but certainly we want you to come during times of worship and Bible study. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And so we would love to have you, consider you an honored guest. If you're ever in our area, come and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. That's 685 Nesbitt Road here in Nesbitt, Mississippi. Well, let's see if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area. We want to welcome you to the program. We're always grateful that we can serve the Florence, Alabama area with the gospel of Christ. And we pray that you might seek out, if you're not associated with, you might seek out our friends and family at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call, find out their times of services. Let's see here, one further announcement. I've been announcing, I'll give you more detail as we move along here, but the Standing in the Gap lectures here in Nesbitt, the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap lectures, will be January the 27th through the 31st, 2021. And so this is your invitation to come and be with us during that opportunity. All right. The phone number today, we don't generally emphasize this, but this is a live broadcast of Reflections. You are welcome to give us a call if you have a question or a comment in relationship to the subject matter of the day. Now, I mentioned that in particular because tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. You realize we have already come to Open Mic Friday. It's tomorrow already. I can't imagine that the week has gone on difficult this week. But we are certainly grateful that we could be with you this week. I hope that does not maintain that, Sister Woodall, a little garbled here and there. Every time it seems like I've got it fixed, it goes back to its old habits. So we will pray that it will not stay with you, all of that garbled junk. But the phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that's 405-428-2440. If you have any questions or statements that you would like for us to deal with on Open Mic Friday, today in the chat window, either on TGRN or on the live Facebook chat window, if you would just put in there, Open Mic Friday, or just put for Friday, I'll know that that is a question or comment that you're making about tomorrow's program, and we'll get right with that. Good to have Brother McDaniels join us from Pikeville, Tennessee. Always good to have faithful Christians, wonderful men and women to join us in our Bible studies. I know that we have several gospel preachers that also join us, and I'm always very pleased when they can join us. I know, number one, they're going to keep me on the right track as well as you will, and I know that like you, will have and have had wonderful Bible comments during our program. And so I certainly want to encourage you to that. Actually, Sister Woodall, it does not matter. We can take on either one. We do have some difficult questions. We have some hot topics that we talk about, those are the issues of the day that need to be discussed. So every now and then we'll have either Brother Mike Bonner, Brother Omari French, Brother Michael Light, or Jason Rollo, or somebody like that join us in regards to handling. I let them handle all the difficult ones, and I'll take the easy ones. How about that? So whatever questions that you might have, light or difficult, just send them our way, I will give them the hard ones. All right, let's see here. What else do we have on our agenda? I can't think of anything else in regards to our introduction here. So let's go to our Heavenly Father. I do want to mention this. Brother John Schaefer, don't forget, a couple weeks ago lost his wife, and a wonderful gospel preacher up in Nebraska, great missionary into India. Brother Obed Rodriguez lost his life with and struggle with COVID, and his family are in need of our prayers. And then Brother John Moore, whom maybe many of you know of, Brother John Moore suffered what appeared to be a heart attack. I don't think it was a heart attack. It was something in relationship to the heart. He is progressing really well. I know that he's even talking now, and so we're so pleased with that. We want to keep his progress in our prayers as well. I know that there are others that need to be in our prayer list, and we certainly covet your prayers on our behalf in this regard as well. So let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our righteous and loving Father in heaven, as we come before thy throne, we do recognize thee as an awesome, magnificent, holy God. And we realize, our Heavenly Father, that we do not deserve to be here of our own merits, but that through our obedience to the gospel of Christ and the shed blood that Christ shed on the cross, that we have an opportunity to be within thy presence and to make our requests known unto thee. We do so with both humility and boldness. At thy request, we are thy humble servants. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would look down upon us in thy tender mercy and forgive us of our sins. We realize that we do fail thee, that oftentimes we do those things that we should not. At other times, we leave undone those things that we should. There are times that our thoughts or our words might catch us in sin. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would remove all of those sins that we repent and confess and seek out the blood of Christ for. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the difficulty of this life, both in physical and spiritual struggles. And we realize that our world is going through a spiritual battle zone at this particular time. We realize, our Heavenly Father, the battle always engages, but sometimes it is more intense in some areas than others. And right now we have an intense battle raging for the hearts and minds of the souls of men. And we pray that goodness might prevail. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that those who are working both in public and behind the scenes to shed the glorious light of the gospel of Christ upon others might do so to the best of their ability, that many individuals might turn from the error of their ways. And we pray that wickedness would never rise up or would never be successful and would always be defeated. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that regardless of the circumstances of life, that we might demonstrate our love toward thee, and that we will withstand all wickedness, and that we will do that which is right, that which is godly, and that which is good to our fellow man. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of Brother Obed Rodriguez's family, of Brother John Moore and his family, and we're mindful of Brother John Schaefer, and we ask our Heavenly Father that you would look down upon them in thy tender mercy, and that they might be able to endure the difficulties that have come their way. Be with us as we study thy word, that thy light might shine in our hearts and minds, and that we might share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God.
Glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ain't no people crying there.
Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he walked along with me. Praise
God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day.
Won't you come along and
join me on that heaven's road?
Young folks walking hand in hand and
singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn. They're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ah, my friends, once again, we are blessed with a beautiful opportunity for our listening in that, and that is such a beautiful song. I love the song. You hear me say that every day. My apologies for just keep saying it and keep saying it, but it is truly a joy to my soul to be able not only to lift up praise and adoration in song to God, but also to be able to admonish and teach one another at the same time. God is certainly magnificent in his design of worship. Now, I've not dealt with worship in a long time, and maybe it's a good time for us to go back and to look at some of the great principles of worship, and we certainly will do that. But that will be down the road just a little bit in regards to a couple of things. But today I want to get right on our Bible study. Today we're going to be focusing our attention upon Mark chapter 13 and verse number 33. And there the Bible says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." Verse number 34, he would say, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, and left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and commanded, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Now, this is an interesting verse, I guess, from a restoration history vantage point, because I believe it was Raccoon John Smith, as we were studying about his life, that we came across a particular a story or a historical account, I guess you would say, where he was riding along in a stagecoach with several individuals, and as the habit was, they would stop every so many miles and take sustenance, rest the horses, and then they would move on. And this particular time, he happened to be traveling with, I believe it was either a Presbyterian or a Methodist preacher, and they were having a Bible discussion while on the road. And it happened, they stopped, and while they stopped, they were changing the horses out, and the riders would go inside, or the people would go inside, and they would be served some refreshments, and get the dust out of their mouths and everything. And on this particular occasion, it evidently was a pretty good discussion in the carriage. And so when they got their drinks, well, John Smith, he just reached down and gulped it down. He was thirsty. And that Methodist or Presbyterian preacher took advantage of that and said to John in a voice that everyone could hear, "Don't you know the Bible says that you ought to be thankful and pray for your blessings?" And so he bowed his head and closed his eyes and began to pray. And when he did, John Smith reached over and grabbed his drink and drunk it and put it back. And when the denominational preacher was done, he looked up and his drink was gone. And John over there with a catch grin, he said, "Don't you know that the Bible says you ought to watch and pray?" And I can't think of this verse without thinking of that story. And it's such a wonder. You're talking about an action illustration. That preacher got an action illustration on that particular day. But I digress maybe just a little bit. But to me, that's one of the greatest illustrations of what Jesus is saying. Don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep on the job. Get to work. And by the way, it's watch and pray. Oh, I see brother, Sister Holly Roberts has joined us. And lesson and lunch in the Roberts household. Oh, I appreciate that so much. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Y'all, I'm so glad that every now and then y'all will tolerate me. But it's always good when you can get the gospel. And so it is a good day. You know, when you think about watch and pray, you know, watch is used in many different senses in regards to things. It means to watch in order to guard something. For example, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17, we find this in relationship to the work of elders, right? It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And so they are watching your souls in one sense to guard them against any of the gainsayers, false teachers, wicked men that are out there. And so we definitely want to encourage individuals. This is the admonition: obey them that have the rule over you. And it is important that we understand there has to be a guard on duty. You have a watchman on the wall, Ezekiel 33, and that watchman on the wall has a responsibility. Parents, think about parents in regards to this. Sister Robertson, I see Sister Hoekstra and family have joined us, and that's always such a beautiful thing when you have families, parents, mothers and fathers that are guarding their children by setting a good example. By the way, if you look up this word, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, those ideas are, I am following a pattern that is set down by these men. These are not men that are just barking orders. They are men that, yes, they're warning. They're saying, walk this way. Don't walk out there. Walk this way. You see, that's the admonition that is given here. But it also means to look for. Look with me at the book of Matthew chapter 24. And Matthew chapter 24, by the way, similar context as we find in Mark chapter 13. But notice here in verse number 42. This is chapter 24 and verse number 42. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." The ideal is that we're looking for. There is a sense of anticipation that is going on in our hearts and minds. I love the statement that the beloved Apostle Paul makes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm teaching this on Sunday morning, and I'm telling you, I'm falling in love all over again with the Apostle Paul and his intimacy with this congregation at Thessalonica and their great example that they have set. But he says in verse number 9, "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And," now notice here, "to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now the idea of "to wait for" doesn't mean that you've gotten in your lazy boy and you've taken it out on the front porch and you're just looking up toward the sky, just waiting on Jesus to return. That's not what we're talking about here, right? What we're talking about here is the fact that we are looking for. There is a looking for with anticipation toward a particular event. I was privy on Facebook, I'm sure many were, where John and the boys had taken a picture some time ago, and they posted it and made mention of the fact that the first thing that John said to his boys when he woke up was, number one, even if he had died, he would have been in a better place. But number two, he says, "Boys, if anything happens to me, you take care of your mother and you be faithful to God." What a good example of a servant that really is, truly understanding the situation that he finds himself in and believing it, you see. So watching, we watch in order to guard things, right? We watch in order to look for things, and we watch in the night. And in the night is one of those difficult times, because we know that wickedness does their wicked deeds in the nighttime. Now, some are so brazen to do it in the daytime, but if you want to hide or conceal something from people, you do it at night, right? In the concealment of, or under the cover of darkness, right? So look with me at Luke chapter 12 and verse number 38. Luke 12 and verse number 38. "And if he shall come in the second watch," that would be at night, "or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." Now notice, there's servants that are watching. There's the second watch. There's the third watch. Why do we have these watches? So as to have a lookout, a watch in the night for any kind of deeds that might be destructive to our families. You know, mothers and, well, parents used to tell children, and I can remember this, there's nothing good done after. Now, for some families, it was a little bit different. There's nothing good done after the sun goes down. In other words, you don't want to let your children go out after dark. That used to be the saying. Then it got to be, there's nothing good that happens after 10 o'clock, or there's nothing good that happens after midnight. I don't know how long it's stretched now, but I remember in one of the stations here in Memphis still does this. It opens up its newscast by saying, "It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?" And I was like, wow, that's, I remember that growing up in Oklahoma City. We had Oklahoma City news stations, and so I remember them saying every time, as Dad would watch the news, he would say, they would start it out with that particular phrase. In other words, encouraging people to be on watch for the dangers of the night, right? And so the word, and we've actually talked about this in the beginning of our series of lessons, but it just carries with it the idea of mental perception, right? A vision to perceive something that is dangerous or something that is good. You know, there are a lot of good things that I see other people engaging in. And I wonder, you know, I my children are already gone. Sister Roberts and Sister Hoekstra mentioned the fact that it's family, it's lunch. It's lunch and lesson time. And I thought, you know, I can't go back and re-raise my children. And I've oftentimes told people the only book I could ever write about raising children are all the mistakes that I made in raising them. But I will tell you that every now and then I'll look at what somebody else is doing, and I'm saying, why didn't I think about that? You know, why? You know, Brother Robert Taylor, it is said, used to sit down and he would give his children memory verses, and if they would memorize that and could say it at the supper table, I think it was the supper table, then he would quote the verses before it and the verses after it. And I thought, you know what, that is, and that actual verse. In other words, he would be prepared to do more work than they actually were being required to do. And I thought, you know what, a wonderful example. I think when we was up, and I can't remember, Sister Roberts, I'm sorry, Sister Hoekstra, you may be able to tell me who this is, but one of the young boys up there, and I think I know who it is, but I hate to call names if I don't. But one of the young men up there during our campaign had memorized the entire book of James. And I thought, you know what? That is impressive parenting. But it is good, solid work for a person. You know, here is a, I don't think they were maybe early teens, maybe 13 to 15, somewhere in there. And, you know, you think about the memory work that is going on and all of that, and I'm thinking, how wonderful. I don't know if you remember, Sister Hoekstra, but Brant took them and worked with them, though, because we had a pretty good young group at that particular time, and he would work with them in the tent almost every day in regards to some of that memory work. And so you know, this is very important that we learn to watch. We can watch and be observant what other people are doing and the faith that they exhibit, and we can learn from that, right? We can watch and be on guard for the negative stuff that is out there, and we can listen, we can certainly, and we ought to, if we're in a surrounded by darkness, which if you think about that from a spiritual vantage point, the church is surrounded, and every Christian is surrounded by darkness. But so was Ruth in the midst of the time of the judges, and she still shined as a great light in the time of the judges. And so what a wonderful example that we have. So watch, pay attention to people. In fact, I've got a good friend of mine, y'all know him, Brother Bonner, who will always tell me, he said, Rick, when a man shows you who he is, believe him. And sometimes people show us who they really are, and we don't believe them. They show us that they're wicked, but we just don't believe it, right? And Sister Hoekstra mentions teaching our children to see the good and love, but also acknowledge the sin and expose it. Absolutely. Excellent point. I like Sister Woodall's comments as well. Like I said, this is a Bible class. I will bring to light some of those comments. She says, I wish I did things differently. I have four children, but now have second chance with my grandchildren. What a wonderful way to look at that. I may not have done it right here, but that doesn't mean I've always got to do it wrong from here on out, right? So let's make sure that we're always on watch. But now, we go back to Mark here in Mark chapter 13, and the Bible tells us to watch, but what is it that we are to watch? Well, there are many things that we can watch. He says here, watch and pray, right? And watch is something that is commanded. This is not just a suggestion by Jesus. Hey, you know what? It'd be a good idea if you guys watched. No, this is a command. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, by the way, in verse number 13, where he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." And then adding to what Sister Hoekstra said earlier, let all things be done with charity. There's your distinction there, Sister Wendy, is you watch, you stand fast in the faith, you act like men, you be strong, but at the same time, you're being strong and you are loving like God wants us to love. And so this is something that is commanded of us. It's commanded, certainly, of gospel preachers, right? Look with me at, now we've already talked about the fact that elders watch for our souls, so they're commanded to watch. Christians in general are commanded to watch, and in particular, the 1 Corinthian passage is really devoted to the men of the congregation. Act like men. He's not saying to the women, act like men. He's saying to the men, be strong and act like men. Oh, listen, I got to be careful here. I could pause right here and we could have a whole lesson on the feminization of men today and the fact that men are constantly being encouraged to be wimps rather than leaders, and strong men guiding and directing and protecting their family. I got to be careful there. But 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, Paul tells Timothy, says, "But watch thou in all things, and endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of of thy ministry." And so it's very important that we make reference to the fact that this is not just a suggestion. Sister Wendy says, remembering that some, even in the church, are good at concealing, pulling up that sheep zipper. Ooh, a sheep zipper. That's quite an illustration with regards to putting on that whole sheep outfit, right? That is a very good lesson there. So we need to understand this is a command. We might even ask the question, what are we going to watch? What should we watch? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, one of the things that we ought to watch, no doubt, are our words, right? We ought to watch what we say to other people. And so chapter 12, look at verse 36 and 37. He says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Jesus is a just judge. And what that means is he's not going to judge you based upon your skin color, based upon your gender. He's not going to judge you based upon the area of that you grew up in. He's not going to judge you by which political party you are associated with. He's going to judge you. One of the judgments is he's going to judge you by your words, right? James chapter 3 is an entire section on taking care of the tongue. And it is important that he should take care of that tongue. By the way, Brother McReynolds did not see that comment. That's an excellent comment. When a husband does not lead, he can't be mad at his wife when she makes decisions for the household. Someone has to make decisions. You know, and the problem is that when men are taught that way, our women at the same time are being taught to be men, and our men are being taught to be women, and so you have a complete reversal. This is why Black Lives Matter, the organization, says that they are opposed. They're Marxist in philosophy, but they are opposed to the biblical idea of the family. They want to destroy the biblical foundation. They're not the first, by the way. They're not the only, and they're not the most influential group that is seeking to destroy the family. And if you can destroy the head of the family, and then, by the way, if you can destroy the helpmate or helpmeet of the family as well, then you have, in essence, destroyed the biblical home as we see it. And so we ought to watch for those that are seeking to destroy who we are. But going back to the words, our words will tell us who we are, tell others who we are. And we have to be careful of that. But also our actions, right? Going back to even 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, the preacher, watch thou in all things, do the work of an evangelist, right? We will be judged by our works. We'll be judged by the time, how we used our time, whether or not we used it efficiently and effectively. You know, there are certain key phrases that when people tell me, a flag goes off in my head automatically. And one of those things is, you know, I just don't have time for that. I used to work with people and they would say all the time, well, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. No, it's not about time. See, if I say that I don't have time for something, it takes the pressure off of me. I'm not in control of time. I just don't have time for it. So I'm not in control of time. I don't have time for something. So therefore, it's not my moral responsibility to take care of that, regardless of what it is. It could be your moral responsibility, but I don't have time for that. The fact is, my friends, God created a calendar of time, and every one of us has the same, and this is what I used to remind them, every one of us have the same amount of time given to us every day. Don't tell me you don't have time. Now, here's what people really, if you want to boil it down to what we really ought to say, here's what it is. Now, this is harsh, but it is true. I just don't have time for that. Or excuse me, I just don't have that high on my priority list right now. Now, you think about that. Every one of us have 60 seconds in a minute, right? Every one of us have 60 minutes in an hour. Every one of us have 24 hours. Every one of us have in a day. Every one of us has 7 days in a week. But is it high on... By the way, I'll be honest with you. There are some things people ask me to do that's not high on my priority list. It's just not. Now, just because... And I want you to be careful here. Just because it's high on your priority list does not mean it has to be high on mine. Oh, I love that, Sister Woodall. Mary and Martha, and that illustrates this whole thing that I'm talking about at that particular time. You could say, it's just not important to me. By the way, if you're talking about religious, spiritual things, it better be, right? It better be, Sister Roberts. It better be important to us. So I like that. That's a sad excuse to say it's not important to me. Now, there are some things that are higher on my priority list than others. And we ought to be able to be clear and honest with ourselves about that, right? There are some things that are just not high up there. I will tell you that Miss Mona is high up on my priority list. Now, she's probably not as high on your priority list as she is on mine. but she's high up on my priority list. My children and my grandchildren are high on my priority list. They're probably not as high on your priority list as they are on mine. But I will tell you, the church here at Nesbitt is high on my priority list. Now, it's probably not as high on your priority list as it is on mine, you see. And so if I'm asking you to put all of those things on your priority list as high as they are on mine, I'm asking something that's inappropriate. Now, by the way, children, your spouse should be as high, right, on your priority list as my spouse is. Your children, as high on my your priority list as mine. They should be way up there, right? Our grandchildren, so forth. The local congregation should be high on our priority list, right? But you have a different set than I have. Sister Oxford says, not going to lie, teaching our daughters to seek priority God first, and if they find a young man that he put in action, God first, lead action in his church, will definitely narrow the pool to few and far between. By the way, you are absolutely correct, and it is not easy, is it? By the way, Sister Wendy, I find a lot of young men in my endeavors, and when you get to that particular point, you and Jerry, and you get to that particular point, we have the Young Men's Development Conference down there in College Station. Y'all come on down, and we'll make some introductions. But knowing the quality of your girls, then I'm going to say that we're going to have to do some heavy scouting. I want some resumes sent to y'all before we start making any recommendation. And so, resources, right? But I digress just a little bit. But that's the point. Seeking someone who has the same priority list that you have. If God and the activities of following God is not important on a young man's priority list, he ain't qualified to date your daughter. He ain't qualified to marry your daughter, you see. And so we'll find somebody that is. Listen, in order to be baptized, we realize in order to be baptized, you have to qualify for it, right? Now, everything we do basically in life that is extremely important, you have to qualify for. And yet, we don't have any qualifiers for our children on their marriage partner, right? Well, if he's a, if he, you know, well, okay, if he's, if you love him, then in other words, if you're infatuated with him, then jump right in. That's all that matters. Is your happiness is all that matters there, and you be, no, there's so much more to it than that. And but I digress just a little bit in regards to that. But we are talking about actions, right? We are talking about the importance of actions, and so we need to watch. We need to watch Matthew 26 and 41 with regards to temptations, right? Lest Satan should tempt us and lead us astray. In fact, look at Matthew 26 and verse number 41 with me, and notice what Peter is told. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Knowing our weaknesses is important. So watch and pray. Well, we ought to watch the company that we keep, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33, bad company corrupts good morals is the basic understanding of that verse. Don't hang out with people that are going to influence you to bad behavior. I don't care if you're 15 or 50. Don't hang out with people that will corrupt good morals. Now then, let's see here. Well, we're going to run out of time. I can already see. So let's just look at the second part of this, watch and pray. We've spent a lot of time on watch, And in fact, I'll tell you what, seeing that we're coming down toward the end of this, it might be good if we spent just, no, I think we can get it in. We're gonna get this in. That's the beauty of a Bible class, is it's not just boom, and there you go. And so let's look at some reasons why prayer and watching are associated together. And both of them suggest a deep dependence upon the Lord, right? John chapter 15, verse number 5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." If you look at the opposite side of that in Philippians 4:13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so there is a deep dependence and reliance upon God. In fact, prayer really does assume or presuppose that concept, does it not? It presupposes that we believe in the reality of God. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, the writer of Hebrews talks about the fact that without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing unto God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so that diligently seeking and coming to him is more than just prayer, but prayer is certainly involved in that. So there is an understanding or a presumption of the reality of God. God exists, or I wouldn't be praying to him. I need God, or I wouldn't be praying to him, right? I don't generally ask people for things that I don't need or things that I'm not interested in. And so it's very important we be involved with that, right? That we understand this is our need. How about that beautiful song, "Abide with Me," right? "Abide with me," the psalmist writes, "fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, the Lord with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." Beautiful, beautiful admonition of a recognition of not only the fact that God exists, but he helps. I am dependent upon him, and I understand that he hears my prayer, that he answers my prayer, that he loves me enough to give me good gifts instead of when I asked for a fish, he didn't give me a snake. Our Father is a good Father in regards to that. And so there are presuppositions, you might say, to prayer. And one of them is certainly we are dependent upon God. And as such, in our prayers, we ought to offer praise and adoration to him because we recognize our great dependence upon him. Look with me at, we've studied this text intently in our earlier series on the human psyche, but I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6 and the model prayer there in verse number 9. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Now think about that. Give us this day our daily bread. And how important it is, just the dependence upon God for our daily things. Let's see, got a comment, says Mr. Rick, I've fallen so. Oh, you know what? Brother Marbot, I have done much in regards to that same. I'll help you all that I can, but I feel the same sometimes in regards to preaching and teaching and doing the work of God, how such a poor servant I have been. And we will certainly keep you in our prayers and assist you in any way that is possible in regards to that. So if you want to contact me later, I'll be glad to offer some things that we can do in order to strengthen one another in that. But I like that. Daily bread, daily study, daily conviction toward those things are vitally important in regards to that. Turn with me to James chapter 5 now, and I want to end with this particular concept about prayer and why prayer and watching are so important in regards to things that are together. Notice with me James chapter 5 and let's talk about verse number 16. Verse number 19 says, "Brethren, if any man do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins." Now, I wanted to start there. There he's talking about the conversion process of one who has now, the one who converts them, he says, know that you have cleared a lot of sin out of the way. But now I want you to notice back up in verse number 16 where he begins. 15, really the prayer of faith. And he says, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed." Now notice this. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth." Boy, if you don't have that marked, highlighted, etched in the chalkboard of your mind, then you ought to. Our prayers are powerful. They avail much. They don't just avail. They avail much. My friends, I know that there's so much more that we could say about this beautiful verse in Mark chapter 13 and verse number 33 where Jesus says, "Take heed that you watch and pray." But hopefully this is enough to encourage you to do what is necessary to strengthen your faith. Brother Marbot mentions that his grandpa passed away last year. And Brother Marbot, we want to pray for you. And good influences in one's life sometimes depart. And you need to seek out for others so that you can continue to grow in Christ. All right, my friends, thank you for joining us here on Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine.